Carmela, what's a red wine that people really like?
Maybe a Merlot.
Okay, okay. Now, let's say you love Merlot, but you're ready to try a few new things. What do you do?
I bet you turn on the Wine Pair podcast.
I think you do, and I bet this episode we'll talk about it.
I bet it will.
I bet we'll even talk about something like, I don't know, Malbec.
Oh, sounds good to me.
Should we do it?
Yes.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair. Woohoo! Okay, really quick, for new listeners to our podcast, what we do in every episode is we taste and review three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20, and that you should be able to easily find in a local store or online or something like that, and the point is to help you find and discover new wines. So our goal is to have some fun, learn about some new wines you may want to try, maybe laugh a little bit, and expand your wine horizons. I like the gap.
Wow.
And take some of the stuffy and the boring out of wine. What do you think?
I love it.
Okay. So this week, we are talking to you out there in listening land who love big red wines like Merlot.
Merlot.
Okay. Now I've lost my train of thought and are looking for some other red wines that you may want to try, but maybe you've been afraid to.
Oh, you're afraid. Yeah, you don't want to go outside your comfort zone.
That's
it
right.
It feels scary.
I mean, do you ever get scared of wine?
Yeah, when I'm looking one straight in the eye and maybe I've had one too many.
Wow. Okay. No. So, today we're going to talk to you about a wine that seems to be growing in popularity, but is still playing like second or third or maybe fifth or sixth or something fiddle to the most popular wines in the U.S. and across the world. And that wine is called Malbec.
Nice.
Or is it Malbec?
I don't know, but you do say things kind of funny.
I do. Merlot,
between
Merlot, I know,
and strawberry, okay. and poor.
Yes, but Malbec or Malbec, as you may say, I think it's Malbec. It's a wine that we have started to drink a little more often, and so you know, how's that?
I think it's great.
All right.
I'm excited.
Now, I tried to do a little research on the interwebs to find out what the most popular wine varietals in the world are, and I use the term varietal. Sometimes I think people are confused. What do you mean, varietal? And by that, I just mean, what are the grapes that go into the wine? Because it could be like when you're talking about wines from like European wines like Burgundy or Bordeaux or Chianti or Barolo or Rioja or even Suave, like we did last week, you're not talking about the grape.
Right.
You're talking about the region. And so it can be a little bit confusing. So the varietal is the grapes. We mean the grapes that grow into the wine. And so in researching the most popular wines, there were an overwhelming number of different sources of information I found. I mean, you can find like surveys.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like surveys say this or that. And sometimes
survey
they give you different
says
answers. Exactly. And some go by like, what are the best sellers? And some by other things. So, but I found a source that was all about volume. And this source listed the 10 most widely grown grape varietals in the world. And I found it on a website called the London Wine Competition, who got their data from a group called the International Organization of Vine and Wine, which all sounds very official. So I figured, hey, this should be the way to go. This is how we should do it. Okay. So, and I've got links in our show notes. So if you really want to nerd out and find out about it, you can. But here's one fun fact that I learned from this that I thought was really interesting. Carmela, did you know that there are over 10,000 grape varietals?
I did not know that.
Okay. So what does that mean?
That there's a lot of different kinds of wine.
And it also means that if we do an episode a week like we've been doing, do an episode for the next 200 years.
Yeah. Wow.
How about that?
Well, we will live that long, surely.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the wine we drink.
Well, but also, I think you have a thing where you're never going to die.
No,
right?
I'm not. So I'll be doing this without you one day.
Wow. And that's somebody else in the pair? Or it'll be just the wine solo. You'll change it to the wine solo.
Okay. Wine and me.
Okay. So I have totally digressed. So this is their top 10 grape varietals by volume, and they're pretty consistent about, you know, with other sources. There's some consistencies, some inconsistencies, but any guesses about what some of those top 10 might be? Any guesses?
Well, I mean, certainly Cabernet.
Okay, Cabernet Sauvignon,
Probably Merlot.
Yes, any other guesses?
Are we speaking to just red wines?
No.
So Chardonnay.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Wow, all of the big names right there.
Any other guesses? One more guess.
How about Malbec?
No. So here are the top 10. Here are the top 10. Ready?
Okay.
You got a lot of the top 10.
Oh.
Cabernet is number one. Merlot is number two. Tempranillo is number three. Arion is number four. Now, Arion is a wine I'm not familiar with, or a grape I'm not familiar with. It's from Spain. It actually goes into brandy. Chardonnay is number five. Syrah is number six. Grenache is number seven. Grenache Noir, I should say, the dark Grenache. Sauvignon Blanc is number eight. Pinot Noir is number nine. And then 10th one is Trebbiano Toscano, or sometimes called Ugni Blanc, which is an Italian wine, and it's mostly used in balsamic vinegar and brandy. So those are the top 10. So, right? So it's not a surprise to me at all that like Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot are like dominate this list, because when you go into a store, they dominate the wine selection. Right, like you go into
I feel like now that if you asked me that question, I'd ace it.
You would.
I would.
You did.
You know, you put me on the spot and then I get a little nervous.
Okay.
I got to say three.
I think you said four, but it's fine.
One of them was wrong.
Okay, you're right. You're right. One of them was wrong. Okay. So, and I've said this a lot of times, that I know there are people out there that love Cabernet and love Merlot. So I'm not saying that people don't love it. I think people love that big, bold kind of wine, especially the type that's typically grown in the U.S. They're not my favorite styles of wine, but that's okay. And it's not to say that my taste is right or your taste is wrong. It's just what our tastes are. But I do think this is one of those cases, again, where supply influences demand. There's a lot of Cabernet made, there's a lot of Merlot made, and I think that's why we see a lot of it on store shelves, in addition to the fact that people like them. So for people who like Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon, I think Malbec can be a really good option to try and a way to like branch out into something different and maybe find some other wines that you may really like. And I know for myself, and I think for us, like Malbec is a wine that I'm kind of starting to enjoy, and it's not totally, you know, my style of wine, but I'm kind of starting to enjoy it.
And it has a similar taste profile to those other two wines.
It does, and we're going to talk. God, it's like you read ahead, but I never let you read ahead, so it's kind of interesting. Didn't. So that's true. So, and in fact, I'll just on a total tangent, the Costco Kirkland brand Malbec, I really like. I think it's really good.
I love a Costco wine.
I know. So, well, in a minute, we will talk about why Malbec is a good option for Merlot lovers and Cab lovers, and we'll do a taste of them and a review, and we'll also talk about what the taste profiles are and similarities and all that. But first, Carmela, we have to do our shameless plug. If you like what you're hearing, we would love for you to subscribe to our podcast, and we also would love it if you'd leave us a rating, like a 5-star rating. How about that? A 5-star rating.
I mean, don't leave a 3-star.
No, don't do that. Please. Yeah. So
when you say that, you can't say just leave us a rating. We'd love it if you would leave us a 5-star rating.
A real good one, because we really like you. And that will help people who stumble upon it to say like, hey, these guys, I kind of like them. And if you want to reach out to us or with ideas or thoughts or whatever, you can DM us on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast, or you can contact us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we'd like you to tell anyone who is either a Merlot fan or someone you know who is from or has been to Argentina. How about that?
Wow. What are you going to take, like a little survey of people?
But maybe it comes up in conversation.
Somebody goes, I just returned from Argentina.
Exactly.
And then the next thing is, I've got a wine for you.
Not a wine. I've got a podcast for you. That's what we're saying. So it's like, and somebody says, oh my gosh, I love Merlot. And you go,
the Wine Pair Podcast.
Yeah.
Spit that out?
It should be automatic. Just come right off your tongue. Wow. That's right. Okay, let's get back to why Malbec is a good option for Merlot lovers. Merlot or Merlot? What do you say? I don't know. What do you say?
I say Merlot. I don't know what it is, but you have a tendency to say Merlot.
I do. Okay. So now I'm sure there are a number of people out there in listening land who'll say, hey, I already know about Malbec, and I like it because it's a wine that's been growing in popularity, right? But I thought it would be fun to talk about it in terms of what you said, the similarity of taste profile to a Merlot. And then I'll also say I do have a blog post on our website where I created a chart that shows how different red wines are related to each other in aspects like body and acidity and tannin.
Interesting, I like that.
Yeah, so that's where I got some of this from as well. So here's how I would describe a Merlot and then compare it to Malbec. So first, a Merlot is big body. So it's a big-bodied wine. It's medium-high in tannin. So it's pretty high in tannin. It's medium acidity. And its primary fruit flavors and aromas are cherry and plum. Okay. Now, Malbec is a bold-bodied wine, so it's bigger. It's a bigger-bodied wine than Merlot. It tends to be. It's medium tannin, so it's a little less tannic than Merlot. Mm-hmm. It's medium acid, so about the same as Merlot. And its primary flavors and aromas are red plum, so plum, but red plum specifically, mm-hmm. and blackberry. So maybe a little bit of a different, like maybe a little less jammy.
Tangier, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. So, and it's really important to note, like all wines, that where the grape is grown is going to make a big difference in the taste and the experience of the wine. And so what are some things that might do that? Well, for instance, how about the amount of sun,
the heat,
exactly. Mm-hmm. What about the soil, right?
Or maybe even humidity.
Humidity would, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The length of the growing season, is it a long growing season or short growing season? So these all affect the flavors of grapes. And in wine nerd terms, we call that terroir. Terroir.
Oh, wow.
Terroir. It looks like terrier. It means things like the amount of sun, the amount of heat, soil, all these things we talked about.
What does that translate to, that word?
I don't know. Hang on. Let me look it up.
Oh, you don't have.
All right. I had to look it up because you put me on the spot. Here's terroir from Wikipedia. Terroir is a French term used to describe the environmental factors that affect a crop's phenotype.
But does that translate? That word translate to anything? Am I stumping you, or this is just a stupid question? Well, sometimes there's like the root of the word that means.
Hold on. Yeah. I got to pause again. Shit. Okay, I'm back. All right. I looked it up.
Oh, good.
Terroir means land. It means land. See? Okay. It means land.
Oh, I think that's interesting.
Oh, that's super
interesting. How do you spell it?
Don't.
Capital T.
Stop. It looks like. Oh, it's T-E-R-R-I-O-R. Okay.
Okay.
So also how the wine is created also matters. Like, do they use oak, and what type of oak barrels are they using, and how early or how late are the grapes picked, and how careful is the winemaker in selecting certain grapes, or do they just take them all and put them all in there? So all that stuff is going to affect the body, the acidity, the tan, all that kind of the flavor, whatever, right? But so these are generalities. So, and also the one thing I'd also say is a lot of the comparison that we're making is based on how these wines are these specific wines, and the specific wines that we're talking about are Malbecs from Argentina. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be a little bit different, because there are New World Malbecs like those in Argentina, and there's Old World like those in France. But like, getting back to similarities, here are some similarities between the two that I would say. The first is they're both red. How about that?
Wow.
They're both red. Wow. Okay. Both are considered to be very fruit forward wines. That means you kind of get a kick of fruit right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And both have strong dark fruit flavors like black cherry. And they also have strong red fruit flavors like plum. And both can have chocolate or spice and vanilla flavors in them. Mm-hmm. Vanilla often comes from wine barrels. Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of some differences, here are some differences. One is that Malbec can be a deeper or darker purple than Merlot.
I thought you said they were both red.
This is the type of red is a purpley red. They're both on the purple spectrum of red. You're really challenging me today. I think that you're angry with me for some reason, but you are really challenging me today.
I'm just curious.
And it's really hard to deal with.
I'm so curious.
Now, so here's Miss Curious. Miss Curiosity killed the cat. It may kill the wine bear. Okay. So while color...
Really?
So while color is not really an indication of taste, is it? Like what?
No,
what?
I wouldn't say.
So now here's something that's interesting that I found out on the interwebs. That the color of deeper reds indicates that the wine may have more tannin and less acidity.
Oh,
so that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually know that.
No.
But I guess that makes sense. Now, wines also change color as they age, but that's a totally different thing. But like, I think I tend to like Pinots are a little bit lighter. So maybe that has some, there's a little indication there. I think that's generally true. I don't think that's 100% true, Miss Curiosity. Okay. Malbec is also said to have more structure than Merlot. Carmela, what structure? Look it up.
Structure in a wine, like what kind of structure does wine have?
Sometimes they have like little, like things holding up the walls,
and they have
2x4.
So they're like shaped like a box.
No, so structure is a very wine nerd term. Structure often means a little bigger bodied, a little firmer tannins rather than softer tannins, and less body. So like when we talk about firmer tannins, those are things like you get that sense in your mouth and it feels like you're like it has some grip, like it's
tight,
like
kind of tight.
Exactly, like that's like a it versus a flabby, like it kind of just shoots, it just spreads all over your mouth, right?
Okay.
And then Malbec can actually usually be a little bit higher in alcohol than Merlot, which can sometimes mean that the alcohol level balances out the tannin a little better. So actually, high tannin wines, you want them a little bit higher in alcohol because it kind of balances those things out.
Interesting.
So what does that all mean? I'd say that Malbec is likely to be a little bit smoother. This is another weird term that I use sometimes, a little bit rounder, a little bit rounder, and maybe a firmer wine, almost like you can sink your teeth into it. While Merlot might be a little bit hotter. Hotter means like, you can taste really, I think you can taste the alcohol a little jammier. And maybe a little flabbier, again, like all over your mouth. And I think more in your face with its fruit flavor. So this, and this is in general.
We should have done maybe a taste test.
We should have, but we didn't. And Miss Curious, we'll do that, but way to make a bummer to the podcast.
No, I'm just
maybe we should, maybe you should write the script next time spend all week trying to figure out what we're going to do. And then you can decide what wine we're going to taste. And I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you better now? You feel better?
I feel way better. Good. Thank you for letting me let that out.
Wow. Sometimes you just got to let them throw that tantrum.
Sweat. Okay. So we have lots of links and articles in our show notes. And so you don't have to memorize all this stuff.
Wow.
You don't have to ask your spouse to look it up. You can just go on the internet, go to our website, find this episode, and look for the show notes, and you can find the GD links, okay?
Wow. Okay. I think I'm in trouble tonight. I think I'm truly in trouble.
I don't know why I'm angry. I'm getting angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the wines that we chose for this episode, Carmela. Okay. How about that? Or do you want me to look that up, too? Okay, as I mentioned, all the wines we are trying today are from our single varietal Malbec. So they're just Malbecs. Mm-hmm. There's no blend, and they're all from Argentina. And all of them I was able to find at our local QFC, which is a Kroger store. So these are wines that you should be able to find.
Okay.
And did you know that Argentina actually grows the most Malbec in the world?
I did not know that.
Well,
no.
Now you do. Now you do. Yeah. So actually, France is the next, and then Chile actually grows. Chile, almost like I had was so excited by it that my voice
my
broke.
Goodness.
Chile also grows a lot.
You're just kind of manic tonight. Yeah. Like, mad, happy, mad.
Well, and actually, the area where it grows in Argentina is on a mountain range that like borders along with Chile, as far as I understand it. Okay. So in France, it's best known for being from a couple of regions, Cahors, Bordeaux, and the Loire Valley. So in Bordeaux, it's one of six grapes that can make up a Bordeaux blend. And it's often blended with Merlot and Petit Verdot. Okay? But interesting, there's only six grapes usually that can be made into a Bordeaux blend. In Cahors, Malbec can sometimes be bottled on its own, but it's also commonly combined with Merlot or Tannat. Malbec in Cahors is known as Côte. There you go. Mm-hmm. And it's a different wine than the Argentinian wine. People say that it's more acidic, it's leaner, it's less fruit forward, and it can be chilled. So it's going to be if you had a Malbec from Cahors in France, it's going to be very different than the Argentinian Malbec.
Interesting.
Now, in Argentina, Malbec tends to be pretty smooth, pretty velvety, and a little softer than its French brothers and sisters. How about that?
Wow.
And then I also say this.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
My God. What is happening?
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
What is actually happening
tonight? Okay. All of the Malbecs that we're tasting today are not only from Argentina, but they're also from the Mendoza region of Argentina. Argentina grows 75% of the Malbec wine grapes in the world.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? And the other interesting thing that I think people in listening land will really like to know, and I'm going to nerd out about, is that they grow at a really high elevation.
Mm.
So most...
Do they have to?
No, but this is what makes the this is what makes the Malbec in Argentina different and special, like me. Okay,
so, oh wow!
So most wine grapes in the world.
Do you need to be in elevation? You're just asking for it.
This has just gone off the rails.
No,
I don't even know how to get it back.
Okay, keep going.
Now most of the wine grapes in the world are not grown over 3,000 feet, but in Mendoza, which is in the Andes, the average altitude of where the grapes are grown is about 3,000 feet. Hmm. So this is really interesting. So again, most grapes are not grown over 3,000 feet high in altitude. In Mendoza, that's the average. Hmm. And some are higher, some are super high. And that has a huge impact on the terroir, on the taste, and the experience of the wine. So do you have any ideas why elevation may matter, Carmela?
I really don't. I'm trying to think why it would matter.
So what? One of the main things about it is around is about temperature. So like,
hotter up there?
No. So here's what's interesting. It's not as hot.
Yeah,
so like, I've been to Mexico City. I love Mexico City, but it's going to be super hot. But it's 7,500 feet in altitude. So it's actually pretty. It's cooler than you think.
Right, like Haleakala.
Exactly.
That's the only experience I've had with that.
Exactly. And so now Argentina it's south. It's far south. So it's going to have, as the seasons change, it's going to have long summers when it grows, right? But the interesting thing is the higher in altitude you go, the temperature reduces, but the length of sun, because of where it is in the world, mm-hmm. It gets a lot of sun. Mm-hmm. And so it gets cool at night.
Interesting. Yeah. Right.
And
right.
So what it does is, especially at night, like the temperature goes down. And so this actually has a positive effect on the acidity of the wine. It can make the wine more acidic. So there's lots of sun and lots of solar radiation, but not as much heat, and the nights can get cool.
And maybe they're on the vine longer then.
Yeah. I mean, they can choose. Exactly. They're not going to get over sunned, right? The other thing is the soil is different. It's a rocky or looser and sandier soil called alluvial soil. I looked that up. And so it drains really well. And the draining is important because it helps keep the plant from getting waterlogged, and that improves the quality of the grapes. Mm. So I can't pretend to be any kind of expert on any of this kind of stuff, but let's just say the terroir, which is the land that the grapes are grown in Argentina, is hugely influential in the way the wine tastes, and probably why I like these Malbecs from Mendoza, Argentina. And somebody's calling us on the phone. So
on again, our house phone,
I know. So
mind
we,
you.
And I don't know why this is the weirdest night ever. Okay. So we have a bunch of links to articles and other information in our show notes. So you can head over to our website. But I think enough of the jibber jabber. Let's get to some tasting some wine. What do you say?
Lads, I'm ready.
Okay. Hold on. Who's calling?
Who's calling? Hello. Hello. How can I help you?
Of course, it stops now. Okay. We're going to pour some wines and we'll be right back. Okay, we are back after a long argument, and we're ready.
Wow,
no,
we didn't have an argument. Fighting at all. Here.
No. So I'm going to go through what this wine is, and then you can start smelling it, and then we'll taste it too. Okay. So this is an Alamos Malbec. This is from, again, all these wines are from Mendoza, Argentina. The producer is Alamos Wines. This is a 2020. This was only $10.99, and we got a QFC. All of them are from QFC, which again is a Kroger store. This is 13.5% alcohol. It's 100% Malbec, and this one got a 91 from James Suckling.
Oh, your favorite.
My favorite. And my other favorite, a 90 from Robert Parker. Oh. I don't tend to love either of them, but we're going to judge for ourselves. So, Carmela, what are you smelling?
Well, it's nice. It's kind of subtle. It's a little, even a little bit maybe smoky or musty, I feel.
You know what? I got what smell I got right away. So, I got cherry, but I also got like clay. Dirt. Did you get a dirt?
Yes,
I think
maybe.
You're getting that musty, a little earthy kind of smell to it.
Because
you did say...
It's kind of taming down the other, the bolder scents you might get off of a wine like this, I feel.
Yeah.
It's not... It doesn't smell like super acidic or anything to me.
I can smell alcohol, though. Can you smell some of the alcohol? I feel like I'm smelling alcohol on it, which sounds stupid, but
no.
Sometimes you can get that really alcohol-y kind of smell.
What's
to things.
What's the alcohol on this? I'm sorry.
13.5.
Oh, okay, so it is high.
I mean, I'm getting cherry, though. I'm getting kind of a red,
dark cherry.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not getting a dark cherry. I'm getting more of a red, like a red cherry.
Mm.
Okay, anything else that you're smelling? See, you're getting, I'm getting kind of a red cherry, like a cherry juice.
Yeah.
And you're getting a black cherry.
But no, red cherry juice, really. See, I can kind of smell sort of like cherry steeped in, like, oh, like a steeped cherry for like a, oh, yeah, cherry pie.
Or a stewed cherry.
Cherry. That's stewed what I'm cherry. Thinking more. Not steeped, but stewed
that
cherry.
Is Do you good. See? Like I'm it's told, almost, you know what? Now mm-hmm. that you say that, I am thinking about yeah. my Aunt Anne, and I've said this before. Oh. Aunt Anne used to make cherry juice, and to make the cherry juice, you like you steam it and steep it.
Right,
and you,
right, a little bit of water, yes, and it breaks down.
That is the smell. You're right. Yeah. I've got this memory of my aunt making yum. That juice.
That's kind of what, that's why it doesn't seem to be super.
There's every noise in yeah. the house going on. So wow. now the air conditioning's, I don't know, I shouldn't even say that, like a bit of wah, but every noise in the house, the yeah, phone's ringing, the toilet's, it's to, like, crazy.
Like okay. censor everything tonight.
You can tell, ladies and gentlemen, that we do not have a fancy studio. Okay.
No.
Okay, so let's taste this before things go totally off the rails.
Yeah, we don't know how long things are going to stay quiet here. I mean, they're not even quiet, but okay.
So what are you tasting?
Well, okay, so it's right off the bat, it's not really something that I would typically drink. It's stronger than I expected.
It's more, I don't know.
It's kind of little, it is more in your face than I expected.
Yeah, but it's also got like sour. It's almost like sour.
It's a little sour cherry now.
Are you tasting sour?
More sour. Like yeah, a little
it's
bit
kind of a strong sour
even
taste.
Even like a underripe cherry.
And once again, Carmela, wow, you are.
Is this like you're like buttering me up?
No,
now?
No, I'm just trying to like now so annoyed, because and now no, because like... if I say something, you're going to be like, look it up. So I'm just going to agree with you.
No, really, I do. I'm thinking that it's not. It's way now. It actually tastes younger. Like it's
well. Here's the thing. It's a 2020, and we did open it up, but I kept the cork in the bottle, so it's been open for a little bit, but. Maybe it needed to be decanted. Maybe it needs a little more time, a little more air. Mm. But it's not a rich. It's not as rich of a taste right. as I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree. It's not bad.
Like it has, it's cherry. Like I'm getting nicer cherry, but it's sour. It's like a sour cherry or something.
Yeah, it's kind of a meal.
Yeah, it's.
Don't you think? Like mm-hmm. it's. What would you eat with this?
I would probably eat. I could see this with like burgers, like red meat. I think this is a red meat kind of wine, a barbecue kind of wine.
It's a little more casual of a wine.
A little bit, but I do think it's probably young and probably needs a little bit more time to open up.
Hmm.
It's not bad. Like it's a pretty good wine, but I think it's a red meat wine. I think it's a fatty red meat wine. Hmm. Like I think you want a lot of fat with it. I think it would like. There's some texture to this wine. Like it's got good tannin. You can feel that tannin.
Yes.
And it has acid. So it's. I think it'd be a really good food wine.
Hmm.
What do you think it would go with?
No, I think so too. I mean, I do think this is kind of a standalone wine too that people might just enjoy. Like those people who are just having a glass of wine would just enjoy this wine because it's pretty flavorful. I mean, it's young tasting, but I felt like it was, like I said, kind of, pow, like a big, you know, a little bit of a pow sensation or like you would have with a Merlot or a Cabernet.
You know, I'm thinking you're right. And I'm actually going back and looking at the notes. You know, this reminds me, maybe this is a little bit more of the French style too. Mm. It's a little leaner. It's a little more acidic. It's a little less fruit forward. Maybe this is a little bit more of that style. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I do think if you like Merlot, I think this would be a wine you like. Like, this is not totally my cup of tea, but I like it.
It's not just, tea, honey.
Oh, no, it's wine. Mm. Honey. But I think... I don't know. I'm just weird. This is the weirdest.
Wow,
I don't know what to even say anymore. Wow. I don't know what to say. No, but I like it.
What rating would you
give it?
Well,
hold on. Before we give it a rating, let's remind the people out there in listening land about our rating scale, especially for those who may be new. We rate on a scale of 1 to 10. There are no half points, Carmela. You can't do a half.
All
it's right. a 1, a 2, a 5, a 10, whatever. And 7 or above means that I'm going to buy it. We're going to buy it. 4 and below means we're probably going to pour it down the sink. And in between that, like, we're probably going to drink it, but we might not buy it, but we'd finish it for sure. So this wine.
You break it, you buy it.
You break it, you buy it. This wine. I'm having a hard time. I'm kind of leaning towards giving it a 6.
Mm.
Like I like it. I'm going to drink it. I'm not sure I'm going to buy it, but I will say this, and we say this all the time. This is not totally my style of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may really love this style of wine. And so don't judge our
book
number.
By its cover.
So don't judge the number by like whether or not you should buy it. Because right. I think if you like Merlot, I think you really like this wine. What rating would you give it?
You know, I'm kind of in the same camp tonight. I'm thinking 6 is where I'm at. I don't find it, I mean, because it's not my style really either, but I'm not finding it hard to drink. Mm-mm, it's not like, oh, wow, this is too much for me. You know, it's a little, it's subtle enough that you could just have a nice glass of this Malbec, I think.
And we always reserve the right to change our ratings.
So I'm going with a 6. Did I say that?
I'm going
that?
With a 6. It's a nice wine.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice wine. Mm-hmm. I may change it to a 7, actually, but I'm going to give it a minute. It's growing on me, actually, quite
that's
a bit.
That's gross.
Okay, that's weird. I'm going to change it right now. I'm going to give it a 7.
Wow!
I'm going to give it a 7. I would buy this wine.
Okay.
I think I would buy this wine. Okay. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to clean out our glasses, and we're going to try our next wine.
All right.
Okay, we are back, and we're ready to try our next wine. And this one, Carmela, I have to admit, I will just talk a little. So this is Chalkboard Malbec. And I totally chose this because it felt to me like a wine that you could find all over the place. It looks like a very American-y kind of wine. They make a whole bunch of different styles. So it felt to me like a very common everyday wine that you could find, find pretty easily. So that's why, So that's why I chose it.
Okay.
But this was actually the wine, the grapes come from Mendoza, Argentina. I don't know if they make them in California and ship the grapes up, which we have seen people do before, or if they make it down there, but that's where the grapes come from. The producer is Chalkboard Wines. This is also a 2020. This was only $9.99 at QFC again, wow. Kroger. This is 13.5% alcohol. So same as the last one, 100% Malbec. No professional ratings on this one, Carmela.
Okay.
What are you smelling?
This one I'm getting cherry, stronger.
I'm getting more plum on this one, I feel
really?
I'm getting more of a plummer? I'm smelling plummer. Whoa, I smell the plummer.
That's weird. Okay, so like which kind of plum? I know they were saying typically it's kind of a red plum. Are you getting red plum, Italian plum?
I think I'm getting like a darker plum. I'm almost getting a pruney kind of plum on it.
Oh, like a stewed plum almost.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. Like just like a but ripe.
Like more like, sweet?
Like a sweet kind of ripey kind of plum. Okay. You said cherry. I guess I'm getting a little bit of cherry, but I'm not
getting a little bit of like Twizzlery on this guy.
Are you?
Yeah, okay. Just a little bit of like that
sweetness.
Red licorice.
You're getting that sweetness on it.
I don't know why, but...
Well, I got the sweetness too. I definitely was getting the sweetness.
Hmm.
And it wasn't just from looking at you.
Wow, you're making up for something. Oh, wow. What was that?
My own grossness. Wow, okay, no. Wow. I don't...
what else?
I'm not getting any of those other... I'm not getting like... wood or smoke or clay. I feel like I'm just getting fruit.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It does smell fruitier.
Okay, well, let's taste it and see what we think.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh, I'm making a bunch of noises. What do you think?
I like it. I don't think it's as tangy.
So funny. I feel like we're tasting different wines.
Really?
I thought like this one's really...
tangy?
I don't know. Tangy, I don't
or
know.
Or like sour?
Yeah, there's something sharp about it. Like, I'm getting a real strong alcohol aftertaste on it, too.
Well, it's not a tannin.
But I'm getting an alcohol aftertaste.
Hmm.
So, I mean, yes, there are
tannins.
It's very tannic. It's very tannic. But I'm feeling alcohol on it.
Okay. Let me see.
Yeah, I just feel like going down, there's bitterness. It's got bitterness to it.
I'm getting a little more of that now. I don't like it as much.
No, not after the next taste. I feel like I'm getting the dregs of the wine. You know what I mean? Like something is left behind.
Yeah, this is, I don't know. Yeah, I am. It is coming off a little differently than at the beginning. Oh, what's the matter?
I don't know. I'm kidding. Like, I don't know. That tannins, it's
too much.
I feel like it's oaky too, like new oak, like oaky vanilla. I'm getting a little vanilla on it. Are you getting that vanilla?
Not really. I'm actually not finding this very pleasant. I don't know. That first sip was, I don't know. Now that I've swirled it, let it out, let the air kind of get into it.
It's oaky. It's super oaked. It's like new American oak. I feel like maybe I'm totally
just
wrong.
What you love.
Yeah,
honey.
Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I feel like I'm getting those tannins from it, that vanilla. I don't like it.
Okay, would a Merlot lover love this?
Maybe.
Though?
I think if you like an oaky red wine, you'd like it, but I will say it's not jammy.
No.
This is not a jammy.
No, fruit forward or anything. No.
So I kind of feel like, I think if you like a big, bold wine, I'm not sure you're going to love this wine. I don't know. I don't really feel like it.
Yeah. It's not, I'm not enjoying it like the other
some
one.
Film on my teeth or something.
Oh boy. Golly.
I mean, it's not horrible.
Is this going down the drain?
I mean, let's put it this way. We have 3 bottles of wine. Between the two of us, we are not going to drink 3 bottles of wine tonight or in 2 nights. Like, that's a lot of wine.
Right.
This one is going to be, like, by the 3rd day, we're going to be like, we probably should pour it out.
Or should we cook with it?
Yeah, or cook with it. Maybe, yeah. I don't think, you know, I don't, you shouldn't don't cook know. With wine that you wouldn't drink.
But, no, true.
I don't,
I'm not digging
what food would you put food with this wine?
I would want to because I just don't think I'd want to have it alone. I wouldn't want this alone. Even something like crackers and bread, I think you need something to tame the taste.
Yeah, it's not very good. I don't even know what food I would pair with it. I'm the more I'm tasting it, the worse it's getting.
Yeah.
I feel like as I'm enjoying it less, it's like your taste experience was the same. Like the more and more I taste it, the less I'm enjoying
it. Right. It was like the first sip was tolerable. Ugh. And now it's just kind of womp womp.
What rating are you going to give it? I feel like every time I taste it, my rating goes down.
I know. That's the unfortunate thing. I think, you know, this is, I feel like it's kind of, for me, about a 4.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give it a 3. I'm giving it a 3. And I feel bad because I feel like I was prejudging it because it's like I knew it wasn't going to be a wine that I liked. But every time I feel like I've gone from 5 to 4 to 3 and I don't want to taste it again because I might go down to a 2 or a 1.
Yeah.
It just, there's something about it. It's just not settling right.
It's a little off even. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not off or gone bad, but it just doesn't taste quite like it should.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, disappointed, but that's why we try them, right? So, okay. Now we are going to take another break, and we're going to try our last one.
Okay.
All right, we are back and we're ready to taste our last wine. This is the Catena Malbec. This is again from Mendoza, Argentina. The producer is Bodega Catena Zapata. The year is 2019. This is 1999, so just barely made our cutoff line, Carmela. Mm. Again, everything today is from Kroger, QFC store, 13.5% alcohol again, 100% Malbec, and Robert Parker, our good friend Robert Parker, gave this
one
a 92. Bobby Parker.
Robbie.
So what are you smelling?
Wish it was Peter Parker.
Oh, Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. He might have been too young to drink.
Mm-hmm. Just smell the wine when you smell. God, when we're off the mic, when we're taking a break, she's like, "That's been too crazy. We should do it." And then what did she do? Peter Parker.
I mean, those, you know.
What are you smelling?
Okay, what are you smelling? This wine, hearing those names just reminded me of.
Okay, I'm getting a lot. I'm getting soil again, that clay again. Oh. I'm getting that stewed cherry, stewed plum again.
Okay. Let me see.
I might be getting a little bit of leather on this one.
Okay.
I'm getting a little leather. I'm getting a little something like smoky.
I'm getting the smoke, I think. I'm getting a sulfur. Smoke and dirt, kind of like the first one.
That's what I said. That's soil, that clay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I like that.
It's a little
that.
Musty.
I'm not getting musty.
Well, maybe it's just the dirt smell. Earthy. It's earthy.
Yeah, it's got good. I mean, it's.
It's nice. Yeah. It's nice. But yeah, it's a little.
There's earthy. More going on in this one. I will say, like, overall, the like spicy, I'm getting spicy. I'm almost getting like a cayenne pepper, like a hot pepper on it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. I'm enjoying smelling this wine because there's
we're smelling the heck out of it, too.
We're smelling the shit out of this wine. Okay, let's taste the shit out of it.
Okay, wow. Okay, this has a lot more going on.
Ooh.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. It's nice. I wouldn't say it's overly fruity, though. Are you tasting a lot of fruit?
I think it's young. I think it's young.
You were going to say.
No, I think it's young. I think this. No, it is yummy. It's yummy. It's chewy. It's got like some good mouthfeel on it. It's good. Yeah.
But it's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. The other ones had too much like tang or I don't know.
It's interesting. You're right. Like this has some of the same flavors as like the other ones, the first one too, but it's smoother than that. It's nice. It's got like really, I'm getting that. They all have had the similar sort of like, to me, like a cherry, that stewed kind of cherry taste.
Right. Kind of a cooked down cherry. So, but this one, it's a little more, like I said, just feels smoother. It's not as tangy. What?
I splashed my own face.
Oh.
This is the worst night of my life.
Did you get wine in your eye? The worst thing is when you get wine in your eye.
It's good. It's got a lot of complexity. I feel like it's too young. I feel like I should have decanted it and let it sit for about 20 minutes. I think it could sit in your cellar, even though it's not a super expensive. I mean, it's a $20 wine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 2019. I think it could sit for a couple more years. It's yeah, pretty nice.
It's very pretty, too.
It is pretty. It's got... I'm tasting the smoke. I'm tasting wood on it. I'm tasting wood. I feel like I'm tasting oak. It's got a tiny bit... It's got spice. It's got pepper. It's got spice.
What's the alcohol again?
They're all been 13.5%. They're all the same.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, you just... This is not as hot as the other ones. It doesn't have that alcohol finish.
Mm-mm. It's nice.
It's smooth. I like this one.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know if I... The first one I liked as well. They're a little different from each other.
Yeah, you gave the first one a pretty good rating.
I went back and gave it a 7. Mm-hmm. And I like this one too. What food might you pair with this one?
Well, I think this would be another good red meat
wine.
I think it needs something rich along with it.
Yeah, something fatty. I think these wines need something fatty with them.
I could even see kind of like steak and potato dinner.
Steak and potatoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something with some girth to it. Yeah. Yes. Even like a steak frites would be really good. Like steak and fries.
Now
you know,
that
would be really good.
Fancy.
No, but don't you think that would be really good?
Yes. Yeah.
I think with like... rich cheeses, like a Beecher's cheddar cheese, right, or something like that. It would go really well.
Salami crackers, mm-hmm. Ooh,
really good. This is nice. I kind of feel like the first wine, which I really liked, was more of a burger grilled, like barbecue wine. I think this is a little more elegant.
I was gonna say it's a little fancier, a little more formal. Mm-hmm. The first one did taste kind of casual, which is kind of weird to say, like this tastes casual, but you can kind of, some of the wines, I think you can separate in different camps like that.
I agree.
More of a formal wine. This is a little more formal.
Fully agree. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful bottle. It's really nice. It's a good wine. Mm. Like, I think this is a good wine to bring over to somebody's house and say, hey, you ever had Malbec? Let's try it.
Did you just get back from Argentina?
Yeah.
And you're going to listen to the Wine Pair podcast. And their latest episode is about Malbec.
Okay. Yes. So, Carmela, what are you going to... I'm just totally ignoring you right now.
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
I know. What rating typical. Are you... Honey, typical. What rating are you going to give this wine?
Okay. So, I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. And I'm going to give it an 8. I like it. I think, you know, I might be overrating these a little bit, but I do like them.
Overrated. No.
And it's, again, what's interesting to me is this is not totally my style. This really is not totally my style, but there's enough acidity in these wines and enough like good body, like what do we say? Structure, good structure to these wines. I am enjoying them quite a bit. At least the first one and the third one, the chalkboard, like send to hell.
Okay, so eating chalk.
Yeah. So which of these are you going to finish tonight?
Well, I'm going to have to give you this one because I think this is my favorite of the three.
I would take the either, but you want the
unless
almost.
You want to share. And I don't know if you're in the sharing mood tonight, though.
Sharing is caring.
Honey.
I'll share with you.
Really?
I'll share with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You'll take the Alamos. I'll take the Catena. Neither of us will take the chalkboard. We're going to throw it against the chalkboard. Okay. So here are taste profiles expected from an Argentinian Malbec. Are you ready, Carmelita?
I am ready.
That's what they would call Carmela in Argentina.
Yeah. The last time we were in Argentina, that's what they called me.
Okay. You ready? Yep. Black cherry, red plum, boysenberry, red pepper flake, prune, pomegranate, plum, sugar plum, raspberry, raspberry leaf, and raisin. They're also
Last time I ate a raspberry leaf, that's exactly what it tasted like.
Hints of coffee, mocha, leather, sweet tobacco, molasses, and black pepper. Hmm. Okay, so from the Alamos website, they say pronounced notes of black cherry and blackberry integrate with finely grained spice and vanilla oak. Hmm. Notes of wild berries, round tannins. Chalkboard, concentrated plum and black currant flavors topped with spicy cinnamon and nutmeg notes. Sorry, chalkboard. Catena said deep aromas of ripe red and dark fruits are joined by delicate violet and lavender notes with traces of vanilla and mocha. A rich, concentrated mouthfeel is highlighted by flavors of blueberries and blackberries. And I get that. A touch of leather. We got that in cinnamon. Bright acidity, flinty minerality. There wasn't anybody that was saying things like, earth,
I know,
or anything, which I find really interesting because we were definitely getting that.
Do you think because they just needed to maybe sit open a little bit longer?
Maybe, or maybe it's like a secondary or tertiary. Ooh, tertiary. Wow. There's a 5-cent word.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, well, I win. Yeah. Maybe that'll be on Wordle. No, it won't because it's way too many letters.
Yeah, what Wordle are you playing?
I'm playing Flirtle. Flirtle-leetle. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
But yeah, it's interesting that we didn't get any of those. They didn't describe any of those earthy flavors because we were getting the closest. Like raspberry leaf was the closest.
What
of that
the
kind
heck?
Of earthiness.
I'm tasting a raspberry leaf.
Yeah, one of them said dried herbs. The Alamo said dried herbs, but I don't know.
Anyway, is Herb?
Herb, you know, Herbie.
Oh.
So how might you, what do you think as a Merlot alternative, this Malbec? I mean, not that we are great Merlot or Merlot knowledgers. Mm-hmm. I don't even know the word to say. Mm-hmm. I'm so lost tonight.
We're not well-versed on the Merlots.
We're not Merlot aficionados.
Yeah, we're just...
Superiors.
I don't know what that means.
But what do you think as an alternative?
Well, I would not go toward either.
Really?
But I think I am appreciating this Malbec, like trying something different.
Different.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You know, so I do think that if you are a Merlot drinker, you should try this because it's
totally
good to try just to branch out, try something different. And this is like comparable enough that you might find this another option.
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't make up this idea that Malbec and Merlot are good partners, good alternatives. This is all over the interwebs. But I'd be really curious if anybody out there in listening land was like, hey, I love it or I hate it or this, I love Merlot, but I don't like Malbec. Exactly.
Nothing.
I would love to, we would talk about this if you sent us a note about it. So let us know if you have strong feelings about it or if you have any feelings. Let us know how you feel about it.
We've had a lot of feelings tonight, though.
We
have
do.
Felt a lot. Good, bad, and the ugly.
Boy. Anyway, so... Thank you very much for listening to us. We are the Wine Pair. And while you're thinking about it, again, if you haven't done it yet, please subscribe and please give us a rating, a 5-star rating. If you haven't done it yet, okay, would you do it? Please. No, we really do appreciate you listening and spending time with us. And we feel like we know you and we love you. How about that?
Wow, we know each and one of your names.
We do. Yes, we do. We would love it to hear from you. We would love to hear from you so you can reach out to us on our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. Yes, there is a the. You can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. You can DM us there. You can reach out to us if there's stuff you want to talk about or you want us to try or talk about.
If you're mad at us, having an off day, if your air conditioning turned on and you didn't want it to.
Yeah, if you're, whatever, if the toilet flushes or the... Where the phone rings in the middle of a podcast recording.
If you have a house phone, I don't know.
Just let us know.
We never even answer it, so don't call us on our house phone.
Yeah, by the way, we don't actually have a phone.
We don't, but something rings. I don't know.
It's the printer.
The phantom phone.
No, it's the printer. It's plugged into the printer. And so the only
time you answer, you have to answer the printer? I don't understand that.
You open up the lid. Hello? Hello?
No, really. Who's trying to call us?
I don't know.
I mean, we get phone calls. Is it just Mr. Risk? Mr. Spam Risk.
It's Spam. Spam Risk.
Spammy Risk.
S-Pam Risk. S-Pam.
I don't know.
S-Pam is one of my best friends. Okay, anyway, thanks for listening to the Wine Pair Podcast, and we'll see you next time. And like we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking shitty wine. Bye-bye.
Bye. How much you love me and the happy ending.